Making order out of chaos, that is the Word of God. Understanding that Word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace on this Friday session. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and again with us is Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. Wes is the pastor there. Wes, we're thankful you're with us each and every Friday and that we can come together and discuss issues pertaining to the Christian faith, doctrinal issues, practical issues. If you have questions, you are welcome to write us, and we will address your questions over Abounding Grace on these Friday sessions. Today we had a question from a listener regarding music, regarding what is appropriate music. As everyone knows, Wes, and you know well as a pastor, this is an area where there has been much debate and much actual warfare over music. And let me just ask the initial question, why do you think that is?
Because music, I think, is something that really strikes at people's emotions. People, when people discuss music, they get very intense. They have very strong feelings about music because of what music does to us. And I think if we go back to the scriptures, which is what we always want to do, you see that too with somebody like King Saul. When he was having his difficulties, David would come and play music, and music was the drug that sedated him.
Right, and it is a very important part in the life of the people of God. I mean, we have descriptions in the Bible to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another in daily life, but also when we come together in corporate worship, music is an essential element of our worship as we sing out the praises to the Lord. One of the unfortunate developments I really feel, Wes, is that today often in the whole worship wars discussion, that there's been a whole, basically a warfare between that which is traditional and that which is contemporary. And so the lines are drawn and immediately that language is used. I find often it's very troubling that traditional can simply mean nostalgia for the past.
Right.
And we could feasibly just like something because it's old and familiar, and yet the doctrinal content of the song is wrong.
That's exactly right, Chris. Like, you look at some of these hymns that emerged out of the Second Awakening, the Second Great Awakening. You know, some of these, you know, the Second Great Awakening, the First Great Awakening, we'll start with that, was primarily a Calvinistic movement, a movement that really exalted the doctrines of grace and knew that God was the one who converted sinners. The Second Great Awakening, with Charles Finney and so forth, was more Arminian. It focused on man and man's ability to be able to make a decision for Jesus Christ. And the hymns of that era also reflect those kinds of that kind of theology. And so just because something is old, just because something is from 200 years ago, or even 100 years ago, or maybe 50 years ago, does not necessarily mean that it's appropriate for us to sing in public worship.
Right, and so to say that one hymn, just because it's older, it may have come out of the very revivalistic time period, that really doctrinally was an attack upon a right view of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, contemporary today simply means to many people, well, the implementation of drums and all sorts of instruments in worship and breaking. I remember, Wes, the statement when I was growing up, this is not your father's Oldsmobile. Mm-hmm. You know, and today that can be translated, this is not your father's church. And so we get rid of the old and we think contemporary only means what is new and innovative, and people react against that. Is there an error in that viewpoint too?
Well, that's true. Like, when we just want to go back to something that's old just because it's old, that's kind of thoughtless, actually. We don't really look into, well, what is that music actually saying? Not only with the words, but also with the music. Because both the words and the music communicate something.
That's what we want to focus on here for in the next few minutes. The words of what we sing. We want to get at, and when we look at, when we talk about the words of music, we have a basic model given to us in the scriptures. There is a psalm book in the middle of the Bible, the songbook of God's people, the Lord gives us an entire songbook, 150 songs, to give us a very clear model of what should be sung and what biblical, God-centered, Christ-centered music looks like and sounds like. And so here we have that. And when we look at the words of it, what strikes you, Wes, about the words of the Psalms? I mean, today we're really focused on repetition. They're called 7-Eleven songs, however we want to coin them. But repetition has become a key thing in very much of the modern day music. The Psalms, however, provide a little different focus in music, don't they?
The Psalms are totally unique, actually, like totally different from a lot of the music that we have today. I mean, you look at the way the Psalter starts. The Psalter doesn't start with a praise song. The Psalter starts with wisdom, of all things. Psalm 1 is often considered to be a wisdom psalm. It's kind of the doorway into the Psalter. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, and so on. In Psalm 1, it's not so much about directing praise to God, but about who the wise man is and what he looks like. And ultimately, this psalm points us to Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that blessed man is Jesus. And so immediately we're confronted with meeting Christ at the beginning of the Psalter, which sort of unfolds all the way through of showing us his person and work, with all the different emotions and feelings that come along with that. And so you have laments.
Most of the Psalter is made up of laments.
Right.
You know, we often think that the only thing we should be singing in worship should be praise songs. But if we look at the Psalter, most of the Psalms are singing the blues.
And that's where we've discussed before. It is almost a lie to think that when we come into worship, it only has to be praise. There are people, like you said before, Wes, and a few weeks ago in one of the Abounding Grace series, that will come in who are hurting, who are in pain, who are suffering from the loss of loved ones. The Psalms reflect the whole course of human life and all the different emotions, circumstances, and realities of life that encompass life under the sun. And so to highlight one element and lift that up as the model for music when the Psalter presents a very holistic view is very deceptive.
And it also loses sight of who the Psalms point to. The Psalms point us to Jesus Christ and the fact that he experienced the wide range of human emotions that we all feel. That's encouraging. That's comforting because we know that we have a Savior who has been through what we've been through, who's experienced what we've been through. And when we take these songs on our lips, they're his words, pointing and directing our hearts to him so that we fix our eyes on Jesus.
They are rich, profound responses to God's work among his people and what he has done in creation. So you have exalting the Lord for the creation around us, redemption, even what we call eschatology. Eschatology is found throughout the Psalms. What will happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes at the end and takes his people to himself? So all of these, the whole course of really a whole systematic theology is in the Psalms.
Right. You know, you were just mentioning about creation, you know, Psalm 8, you know, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Set your glory above the heavens. Beautiful songs that direct us not only to, you know, what God has done in salvation, but also what he's done in creation and what he's going to do in recreation, what you were just mentioning about eschatology. I think the Psalms, they cover the widest range of possible topics, and I think that has to be the model for our hymnody today as well.
They're not shallow. Very few Psalms come to us just with endless repetition. And I think one of the real perils to modern-day music is the I-centered focus of the music. I will come to worship. I will come to bow down. I am here to say that you're, you know, hold on. Who's being exalted? If worship is dialogical, which is what we believe it is, a psalm is a response to what God has done for us. And so when we come to worship with a very I-centered approach, it really is a form of self-worship, as Colossians calls self-imposed worship, rather than the kind of worship that glorifies God and exalts him for his works of creation and redemption. I think of Psalm 111. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. They used to sing that. So it's not just, I praise you, I praise you, I praise you, I praise you. No, I praise you because of. And then it's a long list of thought and heavy singing upon what the Lord has done.
That's absolutely right, Chris. And, you know, if we go to Ephesians 5, we also see, you know, again, that the Psalms and singing in the church is it's rich and it's wonderful. It's also there for the encouragement of the congregation as a whole, that we're also singing to one another. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Our songs are not only addressed to God, but they're also addressed to one another. And through us, God is speaking to, is using us to speak to one another in church and to encourage us and to point us especially to Christ.
I think one of the greatest motivations to consider what we're singing, I mean, somebody, it can be a horrible thing, Wes, that somebody could be singing, getting real revved up in emotion, which I call an emotional rape, rape of the emotions, when they're actually singing theological air.
Mm-hmm.
We have to love the Lord our God. We often forget this part, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes very closely what we sing and the content of what we sing. That's why it's so important that we are careful in choosing our song, especially as pastors,
yeah,
what we're going to sing, not just to rev people up, but that God might be glorified for who he is in his holiness and his person, mm-hmm, work in, mm-hmm, Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, we want people's hearts and minds to be focused on Christ, that while they're singing, they're not thinking about themselves, they're not thinking about other things, they're focusing on Christ, who is our salvation.
Right. So, Wes, we've looked at sort of a theology of singing, and I want to encourage everyone out there today, ask yourself, when you come into worship this Sunday, is the song that you're singing meant to somehow glorify you or to glorify God? Who really, is it modeled on entertainment, or is it modeled on the glory of God for who he is in his holiness, that we might worship him in a way that pleases him? So that's our desire at the Linden United Reformed Church and the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. Wes, tell us about your worship service.
We have services at 9:30 and 2 o'clock on Sundays. And if people would like more information, they can go to our website, www.langleycanrc.org. You can also give me a phone call, 604-220-7718.
Well, thanks for joining us today and for another edition of Abounding Grace. We are thankful to bring this to you each and every week. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
And with that, we come to the end of our time today here on Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden, with our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon. If you have questions, comments, maybe a prayer request, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a couple of thoughts in your mind you just can't get away from and you'd like someone to talk with, feel free to call or write to us. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Or stop by our website, lindenurc.com, and drop us an email. While you're there, pay us a visit and check the website out. We've got a lot of information about who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at United Reformed Church of Linden. Again, that's lindenurc.com. If you're writing to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, 98264 is the zip code. And again, the phone number, 360-318-0429. If you would like to join us for worship, we do meet at 8650 Benson Road, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays. We'd love to have you join us. In fact, if you do, would you let one of the ushers know you were invited by the radio broadcast? That would encourage us a great deal. And then we trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.